Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're going to get to that interview, if you missed it, right after this check of traffic on 95.7, 93.7. What's our station again?
It's been a rough go for the Ben and Woods program this morning.
It's fine. We had a guest from 95.7, so I just had it on the mind.
And we work at
97.3. We're the fan. He's the game. We're
going to
get to that interview, if you missed it, right after this check of traffic on 95.7, 93.7. What's our station again?
95.7, 93.7.
It's before 6 a.m.
Fair enough.
Now it's after 6 a.m. We're about to get to our Rindle report. I did want to welcome everybody in who's just getting up to Ben and Woods on a Thursday morning. Good to have you with us here, especially the Tier 1s out there. Of course, I made everyone a Tier 1 during the pandemic.
Yes, they are.
Automatic free upgrade, as it were, to the premier status of listener here on Ben and Woods. Did have some late. I was up looking at ESPN's posting. Jeff Passan was working overnight with details. There was no official discussions yesterday between the owners and the players, which is worrisome considering they have a very short timeline to get something done and get baseball started in early July as they were hoping. And you had some very pointed statements that were put out yesterday, especially Max Scherzer, who really put the hammer down on the original proposal by owners to take, those big pay cuts from Major League Baseball players, especially the stars.
He says, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with Major League Baseball in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint. I believe Major League Baseball's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public info. Open your books, is what he's telling the owners, and then we'll all decide if you can pay us or not.
Baseball writer John Heyman, who appeared with Gwynn and Chris yesterday, also, his sources, the terminology, the phraseology he used, it doesn't even warrant a counterproposal.
Nuts. That's
what the owners sent. So both sides are very far apart.
Let me ask you this, Benny. One word for you. Posturing. Is that what that was by Max Scherzer?
He is one. He's not just a shooting from the hip baseball player who's mad. Hey, everyone wants to keep their money that they're due, obviously. But he's one of the eight members on the upper committee. So anything that he says is part of a strategy. His statement was released for a purpose.
And he's also speaking for masses.
Yes.
Not all of them, but masses.
This isn't Blake Snell just kind of shooting from the hip.
You mean this isn't Mike Clevenger from the Indians last night talking about being put up on a pedal stool? He spelled it pedal stool.
Now I miss Hammer.
I know. What is it called? A pedal stool? Yes. You got it. Pedal stool. That's what he says. It's crazy.
But I was reading some tweets. A labor lawyer was chiming in and said, there's a specific reason Max Scherzer put out that statement. And as being part of the leadership, they're telling ownership, the players have no intention of revisiting the compensation element of what they agreed to.
Yeah.
They will play for prorated salary for number of games. So if you're asking for more money from us, it's a non-starter, which puts the ball back in the court of the owners. If they say we can't do it, and enough owners decide It's not worth it to us.
No baseball.
They could cancel the season.
There's no baseball if that happens.
I don't think owners want to do that. I don't think the majority of owners would like to see that. But
you made the point, though.
It could happen.
You made the point. Won't the owners save money if there's no season?
They will.
I mean, look, they're going to lose money.
They will. It's going to now come down to whether or not owners are willing to absorb some losses this year for the overall health of the game. Remember, the overall health of the game is very good for the owner's bottom line.
Very good.
Franchise values go up. You know, they make not just millions of dollars, but they make hundreds of millions of dollars on the overall health of the game. So they may decide, all right, well, you know what? The players, well, it looks like we have the players over the barrel because we can just say, hey, we cancel the season. You get nothing. I mean, other than the small chunk we gave you at the beginning, you get no money at all. So isn't the pressure on the players? But the players are saying, not really, because if you want your $1 billion franchise to be worth $2 billion in 10 years, you need a very healthy game. And $1 billion is way more than absorbing $100 million on losses or $150 million, whatever it is this year. You're going to have to absorb that because you're going to make it up in spades in the long run if you keep baseball healthy. So who really holds the hammer in these negotiations?
It's, you know, the other thing, though, guys, that it's pretty obvious, it's pretty evident now that it's about money. That's what it's about. I mean, you know, there's no safety stuff being talked about. There's no.
There may be some. And
not public. It's not what anybody's speaking about publicly.
Although I think it was Heyman as well who said, who categorized them as far apart on the safety issue still as well. But
amazing.
Let's not even worry about it at the moment.
Let's not put them on a pedestal.
But the new info from Jeff Passan that got me started here was that the baseball players look like they're going to counter-propose no reduction in money. How about we play more games?
Yes.
Which, yeah, I mean, okay, that's one way for baseball to possibly make more TV revenue with more games, but more games also will mean more money for players. If they're going to get a full prorated salary, they're not going to just get half the season for 82 games. They're talking about a 110-game season,
yep,
which is 30 games more worth of pay for players. Now, are they willing to come down on that and say, all right, well, we'll play 110 for the price of 80? Is that the ultimate compromise that they're angling for with this proposal? I don't know. Is it even feasible to play 110? If they don't start until July 4th, 110 games is going to take them, you know, well into October to get through the regular season. And then if you go through the playoffs and expanded playoffs, I mean, it may be November 25th, Thanksgiving, before the World Series is over. And the owners, of course, would be worried about, you know, flaring up. It's cold and flu season again. If the numbers shoot up again in the winter and the playoffs get bagged, you've just killed us all. So they want a shorter season because they want to make sure that the playoffs get done before things cool down too much in this country. It's a dilemma, isn't it? That's the latest. Not the best of news, they're still talking.
I'm looking at Ben. I think Ben just saw my soul.
They're still talking.
Fly right out the window there.
All right, chew on that while we turn things over to executive producer Paul Reindel at our Entercom Empire Studios for today's edition of the Reindel Report.
You're listening to the Reindel Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, it is 6 o'clock in the morning.
It's actually 6:07 right now.
6 o'clock.
I wanted to make sure it wasn't 6:06. I hate when that happens.
6:06?
You had to stall for that one. Good morning, boys.
Morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Hope everybody's as well-rested as I am.
Are you excited? We're going to be playing at 7:35, the nearly-wed game.
Oh, my God, I can't wait
Paul
for this.
With Paul Reindel.
No, I'm not excited. I feel like this is how Ben feels at 7:50 every Friday or 8 a.m. every Wednesday or Thursday when we play Ben Has Been Ever. Yeah, no, not excited about this at all.
The nearly-wed game. I can't wait.
I know Ben's excited.
Yeah, he's not on the spit.
Well, he gets to be a game show host.
The other foot, as it were.
And Ben gets to be the host.
Mm-hmm.
He loves that.
All right. We'll start off in the NBA. The Basketball Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony has been pushed to next year. It was supposed to be done August 28th through the 30th of this year. They had proposed alternate dates for October 10th through the 12th, and it's just not feasible. Jerry Colangelo, who is on the Board of Governors for the Hall of Fame, told ESPN, "We're definitely canceling. It's going to have to be first quarter of next year. We'll meet in a couple of weeks and look at the options of how and when and where. Now, in most circumstances, this is really not that big of a deal. It does kind of suck, though, because this was one of the most star-studded Hall of Fame lineups ever. It included Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and, of course, the late, great Kobe Bryant. So we have to wait for that. It's kind of a bummer, I think, for especially for those three names. Do you feel like it kind of waters it down a little bit if we're going to add another class on top of that next year?
To me, the Hall of Fame is for life. And the last thing you want, whether it's basketball or baseball with Derek Jeter this summer, is a watered-down ceremony.
Yeah.
You don't get that back. You don't get a do-over.
You want it done right.
You get the one induction ceremony. You want it done right. If they have to wait 2 years, wait 2 years. If they have to wait 5 years, wait 5 years. Hall of Fames are forever.
We made that point, you know, that it's not like, you know, in Jeter's case, like, they know, it's not like they go there to find out if they made the Hall of Fame. That would be one thing. Pushing that, right, Paulie? Like, yeah, well, you're going to have to keep waiting. These guys, they're Hall of Famers. They
just
know they're Hall of Famers.
Just sit by your phone for the next 8 months. We'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll let you know when we're going to do the ceremony. They're Hall of Famers. KG, he knows he's a Hall of Famer. Tim Duncan knows he's a Hall of Famer. Derek Jeter knows he's a Hall of Famer. They just don't have the bust yet.
That would be the reality TV version of the Hall of Fame. You bring them all, like, into a house for a few days.
Hey, listen, you can get points towards your Hall of Fame if you don't act like a total a-hole. You know, the whole guy's up making breakfast for everybody.
Going to the confessional.
That is not a bad idea. There's been
Maybe
a lot,
that's how they should do the Hall of Fame.
There's been right, a guys, lot worse ideas that have been passed and turned into television shows.
100%. At the end, Jeff Probst, you know, puts out your torch or puts you in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, one or the other.
Do you accept this bust? I do.
Chris
I like
Harrison
that.
Or one of those guys definitely have to host that. Okay, that's it for sports.
Welcome to 2020.
That's where we're at these days. But this is the headline. I'll just give you the headline here. Three boys let Black Widow bite them in hopes of turning them into Spider-Man.
Oh, that's a fear.
Yeah. So that we all know.
Fear.
We all know Spider-Man gets his powers. Peter Parker gets bit by a spider. He becomes radioactive, you know, Spider-Man and all that. So three Bolivian boys, they let a Black Widow bite them about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. They did not gain any superpowers. They did not shoot webs out of their hands.
Are they still alive? Give me the end of the story here. Okay, good.
Yes. So instead
Lesson
of being
learned.
Able to swing from building to building and all that, they got muscle pains, fevers, tremors, and a couple of trips to the hospital.
I mean, did they try to, like, you know, like, microwave them a little bit first to, like, make them radioactive, the Black Widow?
You can't just
take any spider, and it doesn't just turn you into Spider-Man.
Then no spider turns you into Spider-Man. None.
It says they were prodding.
No, certainly not a regular old spider.
Imagine letting a Black Widow bite you.
I got the chills, the shivers, like, thinking about it.
I'm trying to think if I ever did anything stupid like that. We had heard that if you smoked banana peels, it got you high. We did that. That was pretty dumb. It gave you a headache. You dry them, smoke them.
That sounds pretty dumb.
It's pretty dumb.
So they were discharged from the hospital on May 20th.
I mean, is it any dumber than eating Tide Pods?
No, but that was really dumb.
Right.
They didn't do that to turn into the world's greatest launderer, though. You know what I mean? Like, no one will be better at laundry than you guys. There wasn't a movie based on that. I had not seen that story, Paul.
Although the Avengers are running out of ideas, so we may have Laundry Man, the movie, in a few years.
Laundry Man?
Yeah, the boys were age 12, 10, and 8, and they were prodding the Black Widow with a stick, hoping that it would bite them and give them the superpowers. The mother found them crying, rushed them to a nearby health center. It says here that most humans do not die from a Black Widow bite, but the venom is believed to be 15 times stronger than a rattlesnake's bite.
That's staggering. That 12-year-old should know better. And frankly,
we have them around here.
I know. I killed one like 2 weeks ago.
See that little hourglass shape on the head of the spider?
It was the bravest thing I ever did, by the way. That's it. 2 weeks ago, killed one on my screen door. It was the bravest thing I've ever done in 44 years.
Did you kill it with your tongue?
No, a paper towel. But I didn't know if this thing was going to bite through the paper towel.
That's what terrifies me.
Yeah.
I'm like getting a shoe and just slamming.
Oh, I folded it. Dude, it was a clump. I was, and then you squeeze it real fast, but I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Great story.
All right, it is 6:14 now in the morning, and you know, you hope if somebody was listening right now that maybe they were listening to this segment yesterday, and we were kind of having some fun with Ben about his 6 o'clock drop.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
All right, it is 6 o'clock in the morning.
I said he should get that tattooed somewhere on his body, and we said it's 6 o'clock somewhere. Well. For the Rindle Report, it's my favorite thing that I do in radio and for this show is Ben mashups and Ben songs.
They're my favorite.
With no further ado, here we go.
Alright, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
The sun is hot and that old clock is moving slow.
Oh my god.
That old what is moving slow?
Yes!
It's only half past 12, but I don't care.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. This is what Paul does with his free time. He's not going to have any more free time, fortunately, after he gets married. So there won't be any more of these funny Ben parodies or time to take my flubs out of context.
It's 6 o'clock
in the morning.
Somewhere.
This is it. This is the swan song. This is the end of the run.
That's not true at all.
You'll actually find yourself, once you get married, wanting to work more. I with a two-year-old and one on the way, I now know why Ben works two jobs. I'm actually currently looking for a second job, also a third job. If anybody wants to hire me for jobs 2 and 3, I am available. I will work 24 hours a day.
You can't wait for SEALs season next year
to
start. You
have no idea, my friend. No idea.
Good job, Paul.
6 o'clock in the morning.
The Rindle Report on a Thursday.
Amazing.
When we come back, LeBron James, it was suggested, and I don't give this website much credence anymore.
Yeah.
Deadspin. In fact, I don't even go to
it
generally.
Is it still Deadspin?
It's not really.
What is
it? It's a hollow shell of what it used to be.
It's like a pygmy version?
But this question was brought up, that LeBron James has more to lose than any other basketball player. If the NBA comes back for a postseason run here in late July, as they are proposing, and I wanted to ask you about that, Woods, because I wasn't sure about the logic behind that. Maybe it's true. I don't know. Maybe it's not. But the NBA is trying to move forward with this plan to do a Disney World playoff, and we'll see if they can pull it off and what it would mean to a guy like LeBron James if they do. We'll get to that coming up. First, though, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.